You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Our purpose is to bring Christ to the nations. I want more homes, more hearts to know Jesus Christ and His forgiveness, His love, His hope, and finally, His heaven. The task of bringing Christ to the nations suggests traveling far, far from home. The story of Jonah was like that. Jonah lived in the 8th century before Jesus. Jonah was told to go far, far from home to share the word of forgiveness. Jonah chapter 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Nineveh was a big city, and it was a wicked city. In Jonah chapter 4, God said, "Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" God wanted to get the people of Nineveh straight on their right hand and their left. God wanted them to know what's right and what's wrong. He wanted them to know His law, His gospel. He wanted them to hear His word of judgment against sin. But even more, He wanted them to hear His wonderful word of forgiveness. The fact that Nineveh was big made the mission all the more important. Every single person is important to God. Big cities are places where millions of precious people are to be found. So God told Jonah, go. How far is it to Nineveh? I looked on a map and calculated that Jonah would have had to go about 600 miles as the crow flies. The actual distance was probably longer. But God has a great desire, a passion that His word of salvation come to people, including Nineveh. Today, God wants the blessings of salvation to come into every home. How far is it to the mission field today? How far is it to modern Nineveh? It's not very far, not very far at all. Our homes are different today than they were a few decades ago. You and I are living in the middle of a mission field. Consider the following facts. 1/3 to 1/4 of the population of the United States will belong to ethnic or racial minority groups by the year 2000. In the last 10 years, the Hispanic population in the United States has grown by 39%. 50% of the population of California is Spanish-speaking. Los Angeles has more Mexican people than any city except Mexico City. The black population of the United States has grown 14% in the last decade. In the last 10 years, the number of Asian Americans has grown by 80%. By 1995, it is expected that the Korean population in the United States will be 1.5 million people. That will make it the largest grouping of Asian Americans. In less than 10 years, 50% of Canada's population will be foreign-born. Now, this may puzzle you if you are listening to me from a small town or a rural area in the Midwest or in parts of Canada. People in your town may not have changed much over the years. Many counties in the Midwest, in New England, and in Canada are predominantly white and of European ancestry. But that's no longer the rule for North America, even in much of the Midwest. For example, 40% of the people in Chicago were born in a foreign country. A man named Lyle Schaller wrote a book and entitled it, "It's a Different World." And that is for sure. Many of the people in this different world don't know Jesus Christ. They don't come from countries with a Judeo-Christian background. They don't know what it's like to welcome Jesus Christ into their home with faith. They don't know what it's like to receive the blessings of life in Christ. They don't know what it's like to have a church home, a place to gather with other sinners who have been forgiven by Jesus, a place to gather and be encouraged by His word. Dr. Lyle Muller has written a little booklet entitled Friends in Christ. Lyle Muller reports that 40 to 45% of Americans are unchurched. 87% once were churchgoers, but no longer. Some put their energies now into other activities. Some moved to a new town and didn't get active in a new congregation. Some got mad at their church and just left it. Some young people grow up and grow out of going to church. Others found church irrelevant and a waste of their time. Do you know what this all means? It means that Jesus Christ has not come into every home. You don't have to go too far down the block to find someone missing out on life and its greatest treasures. You may not even have to leave your own home to find someone who is missing out on the indescribable blessings that God gives in Jesus Christ. How far is it to Nineveh? Not very far. Not very far at all. Of course, you have to be headed in the right direction. That's why the story of Jonah is so helpful. It shows you and me how we can be sure we are headed the right way in life and witness. We have embarked on an emphasis called Christ, come into our home. If that is really going to be our effort, if you and I and many of our congregations are going to make an effort to bring Jesus into the lives of people by presenting the blessings that he can bring to a home, if we are going to take this Christian faith as seriously as God wants us to, then we need to be headed in the right direction. How far is it to Nineveh? That really depends on which way you're going. Jonah went the wrong way. God told him, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Jonah went all right, but he went the wrong way. Instead of going east to Nineveh, he went west away from Nineveh. Jonah went down to the port of Joppa and booked passage on a ship headed west. Instead of seizing the opportunity to witness, he was ready to let the people of Nineveh continue on their way to hell. Makes you glad, doesn't it, that God's zeal for people is greater than our zeal for people. Instead of seeing a golden opportunity to bring the word of salvation into homes, Jonah was ready to leave the homes of Nineveh desolate without the word of salvation. Instead of going east, Jonah went west. How far to Nineveh? All depends upon what direction you're headed. Oh, the Almighty must have been greatly disappointed by wrong way Jonah. How greatly disappointed God must be when we Christians go the wrong way, when we don't live and speak about the great love of the Savior. Jonah, God might say, don't you remember all the mercies I have showered upon you? God calls you and me by name. Don't you remember all the loving kindnesses I have given you? Why, I gave my only son. He died so that your sins could be forgiven. He rose so that you need not fear death, but you can look forward to life. I have given you the gift of faith. After all I've done, you go the wrong way? You don't want to share my love? Thank God, God is not like a human being. He doesn't give up on you and me when we fail to share his son with others. His word keeps working on us, showing us our sins, assuring us of our forgiveness in Christ, and showing us the ways by which the blessings of salvation can be shared. He does that for you and me, and he did it for Jonah. So let's get back to the story of Jonah. Wrong way Jonah booked passage on a ship going west. The Lord sent a great storm on the Mediterranean Sea. Jonah told the sailors why there was a storm. The sailors asked Jonah, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. Those words from the Bible show that Jonah was a believer who knew he was going the wrong way in running away from witness. The story continues. Jonah told the sailors that the storm would cease if they would throw him overboard. They didn't want to do that, but they felt they had no choice. So, overboard goes Jonah. The storm subsides. Jonah starts treading water, thinking perhaps that the crisis has passed. Wrong. You know what happened, and it really did happen. The Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. One of the reasons why I like Bible study is because I like to imagine what it was like for the people in the Bible. What was it like for Jonah down in the belly of the fish? What did he do down there? Did he sit and watch TV? Well, no, of course not. There was no TV. Did he read the newspaper? Well, again, no. Did he look out the window and watch the passing scenery? No, the fish had no porthole. Now, you may think that those are silly suggestions, and you are absolutely right. They are outlandish. But they force us to answer the question, what did Jonah do down in the belly of the fish? What did Jonah do? There's only one thing that Jonah could have done down there, and that was think. Jonah thought about himself, and he thought about God. He thought about God's right ways and his wrong ways. He thought about death, which comes when you go the wrong way, and he thought about life, which only comes God's way. Jonah came as close to death as you can come. Only God could restore Jonah to life. That's what Jonah thought about there, deep in the belly of the fish. He was thinking some pretty deep thoughts. When wrong way Jonah confessed that he was near death and only God could give him life, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah cleaned himself up and he headed straight to Nineveh. There he preached the word of the Lord. The people of that great city received the message of sin. They repented, for they wanted to hear good news about God. As God saved Jonah, so God saved the people of Nineveh. Countless homes in that great metropolitan center receive the blessings of God's salvation. There are countless homes today that need the blessings of Jesus Christ. You and I are among the people that God wants to share the good news of His life and love in Jesus. That is what we are to be about. We want countless homes in Canada, countless homes in the United States, around the world to pray, Christ, come into our home. Come with your forgiveness for the wrongs we have done. Come with your powerful word that can end the power of sin in our lives. Come with hope that there is a better future. Maybe not tomorrow or the next day, but certainly in heaven. Certainly there is a better future. Come, Christ, give us life. Pull us out of the pits. Save us from death. You did it for Jonah. Do it for us. Come, O Christ. Now, if you and I are to have part in spreading that message, if that message is to be heard in the homes of this country, then you and I must be headed in the right direction. That comes when you, like Jonah, think. What are you to think about? What thoughts will head you in the right direction? The same thoughts that Jonah had. Thoughts of your death and thoughts of your rescue. When you realize the death that almost claims you, when you see that God and only God can save you from death and give you life, then you are headed in the right direction. Then life is graciously given to you, and you can follow the footsteps of Jonah and share that life of God with others. God's gift of trust in Jesus takes you out of death and into life. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Just as Jonah went the wrong way and brought himself close to death, so your sins, your wrong directions, your wrong-headedness have brought death. I don't simply mean temporal death. the death that one day takes all of our bodies to the grave. I mean spiritual death and eternal death. Spiritual death means that you can't do anything about your situation. Paul told the Ephesians, "You were dead in trespasses and sins." Eternal death is the eternal continuation of spiritual death in hell. Jonah couldn't do anything about his plight down in the belly of the fish. And you and I can't do anything about our plight either. Salvation comes, not from us. The Bible says salvation comes from the Lord. Jesus died and was buried in your place. He paid the price for all your wrong directions, all your wrong-headedness, all your sin. 3 days after Jesus was buried, he was restored to life again. On Easter, he came forth from the grave so that you might have life. New life, now with God instead of spiritual death, and heaven instead of hell when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. How far is it to Nineveh? How far is it to bring Christ to the nations? All depends upon which direction you're headed. The mission field is all about you. Christ is coming now into the hearts and homes of many people in this country. Last June, I visited Zion Lutheran Church in Maywood, New Jersey. Zion's pastor, Reverend Daniel Reinheimer, told me that his congregation hosts a Japanese congregation. They provide facilities and other cooperation. I said, "That's unusual." He said, "Yes, it really is. Most of the churches in this area host Korean congregations." Last summer, I also visited St. Paul Church in Providence, Rhode Island. It is an English congregation, typical in many ways to congregations that you know. But the choir was different. It was a Liberian choir comprised of Liberian citizens living in the United States. These Liberians are an active part of St. Paul Church in Providence. Christ has come into their hearts and home. Last summer, I visited Concordia College in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. President Kramer gave me a tour of the campus. I noticed that one of the classes was made up of Asian Americans. "Is that unusual?" I asked. President Kramer said, "No." He then told me what is true for many of our colleges and universities. They are mission fields filled with students waiting to hear God's good word of salvation. How far is it to Nineveh? It all depends upon which direction you're headed. If you're headed the wrong way, you'll never get there. If you're headed the right way, you will. The right way is the way of repentance, the daily drowning and burial of your sins, and then the new life of faith that God alone bestows through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a new way of living in this world, and it will be an eternal life when you get to eternity. Jonah had an experience, but Jonah's experience pales in comparison to the experience you have ahead of you because of your union with the life of Jesus Christ. Go that way each day, and new life in Christ is yours. And others will learn from you the joy of life in Jesus. Amen.